of choice. The power of choice. Now, there are some things in our lives that we have no control over. When you look at a newborn baby and you look at that innocent little child and you realize that that child is totally dependent on the choices of the parent. Some things we have no choice over. Who our parents are, where we are born, and even the first few years of our life are pretty much in the control of other people. But then there comes a point in our life, even though many times those first few years can be unfortunate for some, there comes a point in our life when we have to make our own choices. We can't blame other people for the situations that we're in. We have to take the responsibility for our lives and for our actions. And from that point, our lives will be greatly influenced by the choices that we make. Now, I understand that there are always exceptions and there are always unexpected circumstances to deal with. But even these unexpected circumstances can be greatly shaped by that simple little thing called a choice. The choice that we make. Everybody here, I can guarantee you, has a story to tell. And in that story, you could find all kinds of excuses why you shouldn't or couldn't do what you really can do. We all have a story, so I won't bore you with mine either. But this morning, we're going to look at a few people in the Bible that made some choices. Some made some good choices. Some made some bad choices. And after we've looked at that, then we'll go home. And then we'll make some choices. Tomorrow morning, we'll make choices. Before we go to bed tonight, we will make choices. Hopefully, from the examples that we look at, we'll see not only the difference in the choices they made, but the result of those choices. Unfortunately, the children of Israel, as you know, who were the Hebrew people, they more likely than not made poor choices. And their poor choices many times wound them up. Some of them, it cost them their lives. Many times it cost them bondage. After seeing the miraculous things that God did, how he brought them across the Red Sea and how he brought them across the Jordan River and met their needs in the wilderness for 40 years, and after all of that, they still made poor choices, and it cost them their freedom and many times their life. The first choice I want to challenge you with is the choice to do right. I think it was Dr. Bob Jones that said it's always right to do right. And there was another man, I don't remember whether it was Dr. Jones or not, that said, do right even if the stars fall. In other words, just do right. It may be as simple as telling the truth. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So important is this thing called truth that it's one of the names of Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth never needs explaining. You know, you never have to change the truth. Lying is the exact opposite. Did you ever notice that if you tell a lie, you have to constantly update it? It takes a lot of maintenance to maintain a good lie because it is a lie. But truth, you never have to maintain. Being truthful is a choice. Lying is a choice. I don't know about you, but if you have people in your lives who are known to be liars, it's very difficult to have a relationship with them because you never know if they're telling the truth or if they're lying. Do right because it's always right to do right. One of the fellows that we want to look at in this morning in the scripture is a man named Abraham. Now, Abraham was given some unusual requests by God. The first one was when he was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. And I believe it was an angel that appeared to him, probably was the Lord as an angel. But he told him to pack his duds and move. And as I ponder that story, can you imagine Abraham when the angel said, I want you to pack up everything you have and I want you to move? Now, the scripture doesn't tell us this, but the logical question for Abraham would have been, where am I going? And God wouldn't tell him where he was going. He basically said, go that way. Can you imagine Abraham going in to talk to Sarah about this and telling Sarah, sweetheart, we're going to move. Where are we going, Abraham? We're going that way. God will tell us where we're going once we get going. Abraham had a choice, and that had to be a difficult choice, that he was to leave his comfort zone is what God was telling him. And I thought a lot lately about what would I do if God asked me to leave my comfort zone. I'm pretty comfortable now where I am. Been here for a long, long time. How would I react if God were to ask me to leave my comfort zone? Mary, how would you feel if God asked you to stay in Haiti? Yeah, yeah. We never know, do we, what God is going to ask us to do. But Abraham left his comfort zone. And then, you know, of course, a lot happened in the next 40, 50 years in Abraham's life, but we know that God gave him that promised son that he waited so many, many years, and after he was 100 years old, God gave him that son, and then God told him one day to take that son up on Mount Moriah and offer him for a burnt sacrifice. Nowhere do we see a hesitation on Abraham's part. What God asked him to do was unscriptural. What God asked him to do was against the teaching of the Bible. But Abraham obeyed God. He made a choice. He said, if God said it, that settles it. You ever see bumper stickers that say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? You take out that middle phrase, because whether you believe it or not, if God said it, that settles it. And that's the way it was in Abraham's life. And he went to Mount Moriah. That story puzzled me for many, many years. How Abraham would even think of doing that. But then later on, I read over in Hebrews where it said that when Abraham did that, he knew that even if that knife came down and killed his son, he knew that God would raise his son back to life again. So that was the motivating factor in Abraham's life. These choices were very unpopular. I'm sure that if Abraham consulted with the people in his family, the people in his life, and told them that he was going to be moving, going that way, they would all advise him not to do it. And that may be the same in some of our lives. God calls you to do something, and there may be people close to you that think you're crazy. Choices. The power of choices. You know, these choices, they were unpopular, but they brought Abraham to the point where God called him his friend. How would you like to be called the friend of God? What a wonderful thing. Now, Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, he had the same influence, and he had some requests in his life, but he made the wrong choice. He made a bad choice. It seems that Lot chose prosperity and popularity over God, eventually leading to the loss of his wife and his oldest daughters. His three oldest daughters and his sons-in-law and his wife all perished because of Lot's poor choices. The power of choice. Good choices are not always easy choices. Daniel, another man in the scripture, was given a choice. He was told by the king that he was to stop praying. Daniel had a habit of kneeling down and praying toward Jerusalem. He prayed in front of his window. The decree was made that no one's allowed to pray anymore to anybody but the king. And the scripture says, as Daniel's custom was, Daniel knelt three times a day before that window. And then Daniel was given a choice. He was told, either stop praying or we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel made a choice. And his choice was, so be it. If I have to go to the lion's den, I'll go to the lion's den. And so Daniel prayed. He was thrown in the lion's den. God gave the lions lockjaw. They wanted him and they couldn't get him. And the king brought him back out. He had three friends. And these are stories that the kids always enjoy. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the way you can remember those names is shake the bed, make the bed, and to bed we go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were given a choice. And their choice was that they were to bow down to this big old image of the king. And they said, we can't do that. And they said, okay, you've got a choice to make. Either you bow down to the king or we're going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, we don't even have to answer that question because we have already chosen not to bow down to anything but God. And so you know the story. They threw him in the furnace. First they say, either you go in the furnace, either you bow down or you go in the furnace. And they said, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And by the way, king, we're not going to burn. And so he heated the furnace up seven times hotter and threw these three boys in there. And the king looked in. And what did he see? He saw four people dancing around the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, somebody else that looked almost like the Son of God. I think Jesus was in there with them. The power of choice. These were good choices. And they brought blessings. Some, however, even though they were wise, allowed their desires to control their actions. And they made bad choices. One of those was King David. David allowed the lust of his flesh to control him. And he made a very poor choice in calling for Bathsheba. It cost him, because of that adultery and because of having Uriah killed, it cost David the life of his son. And it caused him all kinds of problems in the future. Poor choices. And then comes his son Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. If you read the life of Solomon and the wisdom that he had, you remember his wisdom, how it was tested right off the bat when these two ladies brought to him two little babies, and this one's mine, that one's the dead one's hers, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, cut them in half. Cut the baby in half and give a half to each one. And the mother, who was the real mother, said, oh, don't do that. A wise, wise man. But you know, at the end of Solomon's life, he made some very poor choices. Actually, he made a lot of poor choices. It said he had 700 wives. There were 699 poor choices there. And he had 300 concubines and princesses on top of that. And you know, that wasn't the problem. Solomon had the right to do that. He was the king, and polygamy at that point, I guess, wasn't forbidden. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, it said that Solomon's wives turned his heart away from the Lord. How important it is for a young person to choose the right mate, to choose someone who will support you in your ministry, someone who will support you in your walk with the Lord. It cost, that poor choice cost Solomon his kingdom. The kingdom was taken away from him because of poor choices. For the most part, after we get past a certain age, our life, wherever we are, if we look at it, it will be a sum total of our choices, the choices that we have made. Every day we make choices that affect us and those around us. Did you know that our attitude is a choice? You choose what kind of an attitude you want to have. Doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if you're in pain, doesn't matter if you've got problems, you choose what kind of an attitude you're going to have. I told this story probably too many times already, but of David Gibbs and the time that he was visiting this city, and a preacher took him to the hospital to meet this lady. He said, "You've got to meet this woman." And he said, "Before we go in a room," he said, "I want you to know her story." He said, "Her husband was killed at work. On the way to his funeral, her parents were killed. She has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer and has just signed the papers to give her 3 children up for adoption." He said, "I wanted you to know that before you meet her." And as they went in that hospital room, he introduced this lady to Dr. Gibbs. And this woman reached out and took his hand. She said, "Brother Gibbs, I just want you to know how good God has been to me." And Brother Gibbs said, "I had to get out of that room." That's an attitude, but you see, that's a choice. That woman could have laid there and complained about her situation in life. Attitude is a choice. Did you know that our vocabulary is a choice? And I would encourage each one of you to form a vocabulary and then don't go outside those boundaries. That way when you hit your thumb, you only use words that are in your vocabulary. Did you know when you hit your thumb, if you say, "Praise the Lord," that does the same thing as if you use all them X's and O's and squiggly marks? Form a vocabulary. Make a choice and live by it. Did you know that habits are a choice? Eating habits are a choice. Devotional habits, recreational habits, they're all choices. Every one of us has 24 hours in a day. And we basically do each day what we want to do. When we say, "I don't have time," that's not true. It's saying we choose not to do that. We choose to do something else in place of that. Not only our actions are a choice, but also our reactions. We choose how we react to life situations. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says that he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Having rule over your own spirit means controlling what you say, controlling what you do. In other words, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, "I get under my body and I make my body do what I want it to do. I make my lips say what I want them to say." How we react is a choice. How do you react when you get bad news? How do you react when a tragedy comes into your life? Now, I know that there are very tough emotional times sometimes in our lives when things happen, but still we should have control of our spirit. We should have control so that we don't go to pieces when things happen. Do you know that you can choose whether or not to be offended? You can choose whether or not to be offended. I recently missed a golden opportunity. Somebody said something to me just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody said something to me that was perfect. It was a perfect opportunity for me to be offended. The situation was right. The setting was right. What the person said was right. And it was so tempting. But I thought about it. And I thought, do I want to be offended? And I thought, why do I not want to be offended? Because I love this person. And if I let this offense come, it's going to change the way I feel about this person. And I don't want that to change. So I am going to choose not to be offended. And you know what? I didn't get offended. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 165, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Jesus wouldn't have said that if it were impossible to do. We choose whether or not we're going to let someone or something offend us. Now, Jesus said that offenses are going to come. He said it's impossible to get through this life without offenses coming. But whether we accept them or whether we reject them is up to us. You know what happens when you let somebody offend you? Many times it costs you that relationship, doesn't it? It costs you that friendship. It costs you that business acquaintance. I got a letter back in the mail this week, you know, on our envelopes that says Christ is the answer. And this customer crossed Christ is the answer out and put not for all of us and sent it back in the mail. I could get offended over that. How would that help? Instead, you pray for that person, because obviously that person doesn't have Christ and doesn't have all the benefits of Christ. And if they died, they're not going to go to heaven. So pray for them instead. The power of choice. You've all made choices already this morning. Some of you chose, well, I think all of you chose. What are you going to wear to church? Some of you chose as to whether or not you were going to come to church today. You chose what you were going to eat. And all throughout this day, you will continue to make choices. Before the day's over, you'll make many choices: how to spend your time, what time to go to bed, whether or not to pray and read your Bible, how to react to someone in your house. Before the day's over, you'll have that opportunity. Every choice will in some way affect your future. Also, did you know that you choose what you're going to believe? I've thought a lot about that lately. And even in the scripture, you choose what you are going to believe. That's why you and I can both be Christians. We can both be washed in the blood of Christ. Yet we can disagree on certain interpretations of certain scripture. Why? Because we choose. Now, we both have the same Holy Spirit in us. And God is not a God of confusion. So how is it that you see something one way and I see it the other way? It boils down to the fact that we choose. After study and praying, we choose what we are going to believe. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the Bible says it, that we have a choice. Do we believe it? Whether we believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's truth. But we have a choice. Why do we have a Bible? To prepare us so that we can make the right choices. You choose this morning whether or not you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. God leaves it to your choice. You see, God's word has both good news and bad news. The good news is that God loves you and that he sent his son to die on Calvary for you. He paid your sin debt. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of God making intercession for you all the time. He interprets your prayers and makes them pleasing to God because he loves you. He satisfied God's judgment against you. Do you know that you didn't have to do anything to have God's judgment on you? You have to do something to get God's judgment off of you. And you choose whether or not to accept God's payment for your salvation. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. God is not an unreasonable God. He says, come, let us reason together. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, the verse that we used to start with, says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abides on him. He said, I set before you blessing and cursing. Choose blessing. Most of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you perhaps don't. But there are so many blessings that go along with living for God and for serving God and for being saved. It blows my mind. When I think of where I should be from 38 years ago and the direction that I was headed to where I am today, it blows my mind how good God has been. Obedience brings life and blessing. Disobedience brings death and cursing. The power of choice. Let's stand for prayer. If you've got a hymn book, turn please to page 304. I don't think I put that song up on the... It's I Surrender All, Sandy. I don't know if that's in the system. Page 304. No, it's not. It's Have Thine Own Way. We'll sing that. I guess that's the song God wanted us to sing. The power of choice. If there's a decision that needs to be made in your life today, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. What a wonderful day to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and to take that big heavenly eraser and erase the blackboard, erase all the things that are on there that you've done that you shouldn't have done. Perhaps today you need to make a choice that you're going to live for God as best you can. Nobody's perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to live perfect. But we can try with God's help. Maybe this morning you need to make that decision. Maybe there's just a burden that you want to bring this morning and lay here at this altar. There's no power in the altar. There's no miraculous thing that this altar can do. But there is something about going to an old-fashioned altar with a burden and leaving it there. There's something about publicly acknowledging, God, I need your help. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I need his help every step of the way, every day of my life. So this morning, we'll sing those four verses, and then we'll close. And if there's something that you'd like to do some business with God, we invite you to come. Have